Welcome back to Behind the Bench with Todd Flood, exploring the big legal cases in the news, both locally and around the country. Todd will also speak with judges, attorneys, and other special guests about our current legal system and how to navigate it. Now, once again, here's Todd Flood.
We're back. Weaver and I commanding the queue today. Got to also thank Parker and Marv for helping us behind the scenes over there. I do have to give a shout out to we won. I got my verdict back today. Sad case. It's been all over the national news. Deanne Warner. It's a missing body case. Her husband's been charged with homicide. I'm going to be suing. I had to first establish that she was dead, and we just got that order back today. It was an excruciating trial, but now we move on. I may have to call you in that, Weaver. It got you going. But
love the probate court.
Yeah. Well, now it's...
Now you'll be over in the circuit.
Yeah. Well, the next guest that comes to us obviously fills our heart with... you know, her drive and her passion to do what's right and to get done something that obviously is broken in our system. Rose and Rob Bronstein, we got Rose with us tonight. And Mike, you and I have talked about this case a gazillion times. We have insanely amazing co-counsel in Chicago. Danielle. Phenomenal.
Fantastic.
Yeah, beyond belief. But Rose lost her son to suicide after he was bullied in a way that should never happen at all, with the onslaught of social media that hits us and cyberbullying and it being covered up. That lawsuit's right now in Cook County. We're fighting the battles there. Danielle leading the stern, but Rose, thanks for coming on. And I know this is a topic that's difficult, but you have championed some amazing things, and that's why we wanted to have you on, and that's why we wanted to touch base with you and Rob on a regular basis, just to get the word out there about all the amazing things you and your family are doing to bring this to the forefront.
Thank you for having me.
Well, tell us a little bit, Rose, of, you know, the buckets over bullying and, you know, how big of an issue you have found about cyberbullying in the past, all the time you've been working on it.
Cyberbullying is the second largest discipline issue in schools today. With schools allowing cell phones in the school, in the classroom, all day long, all the time, students have unfettered access to social media, which is unmonitored, unregulated, and that just adds to this epidemic of cyberbullying, where to the point that it's become so dangerous, it is leading to deadly consequences. And there are so many stakeholders in this problem that need to step up and address it and be proactive to make the change so that this stops. But I'm finding that it's not easy. You've got parents of bullies who deny, deflect, don't ever even consider that their child could potentially be harming another child to the point that it's so abusive that the victim wants to take their own life. You've got school administrators, teachers, faculty, and staff who are not trained in how to handle bullying and cyberbullying. And if they are trained, I know for a fact they don't get more than 2 hours a year of training.
Wow.
And when they are brought an incident of bullying or cyberbullying, they are being told to manage it as a peer-to-peer conflict.
We know that. So, we know that from this case.
Yeah.
Right.
Rose, is the Is the problem a lack of policies, or is it a lack of enforcing the policies at the school level?
Both. And I think it depends on the school and on the state. So, for example, in Chicago and in our case, where my son went to school at the Latin School of Chicago, they did and do have a zero tolerance bullying and cyberbullying policy in place. However, they willfully choose not to follow it. And then you've got, at the state level, we have a Illinois state bullying policy, which also asserts in there that all schools should have a bullying policy in place and clearly outlines what bullying looks like and what cyberbullying looks like, and clearly outlines how damaging either of those two abuses are to children, how they harm children mentally, physically, and the kinds of impact it has on them. But the problem is, as well, is that the Illinois State Board of Education does not enforce this law.
You've been working hard, haven't you, with the Attorney General in Illinois and other political figures. Have they been receptive?
Our Illinois Attorney General has been wonderful and extremely receptive. He's a big proponent of social media reform. He is a big proponent of child safety. We have some legislators in Illinois that claim to be proponents of child safety and social media reform, but politics are politics, and they will only move so far to a certain degree, and it's either because big tech is in their pockets.
Right.
Or they have other political agendas that are more important to them outside of child safety.
You can't turn the news on or turn a page in the paper without, on a daily basis, for surely on a weekly basis, without seeing something with either AI, the cyberbullying, the bullying that takes place in this social media platforms. I got to believe, and I'm curious what you've found, because you've been working with families across the country. I got to believe the cyberbullying has a more deleterious effect, has a worse effect on kids than it would be if they were physically present. Mentally, it just seems to me, because everybody looks at, Facebook or whatever,
Well, absolutely. So if you are a child, 12, 13, 14, and you are being attacked, harassed, humiliated, invited to die by suicide, threatened for your life on social media and in front of a very large number of people, and you can't get it stopped, the amount of PTSD, it causes PTSD,
for
anxiety,
sure.
Depression, right? So imagine having to go to school every single day and walk right back into it as it keeps circulating. What it does is it affects the mental health of the child being abused. And what I don't think parents, school administrators, legislators, and all the adults in the room understand is why does society expect a child to have to be resilient enough to just deal with it? And to have to go back into that environment every single day when that's not expected of as an adult in the workplace, correct?
That's right.
So if an adult goes to work every single day and they're being harassed, humiliated, invited to take their life by suicide, all these different types of egregious behaviors, that's criminal, right?
Yeah.
The perpetrator would be fired.
Rose, we got to have you back. We're going to have you back once a month. We love you, and we think the world of you. Keep up the great work.
Way to go, Rose.
Okay. Thank you.
Take care.
Thanks. We'll be back behind the bench after this.